This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, Sir David Attenborough has told us, King Charles has told us, and if you were in any doubt, the State of Nature report has told us. Nature is in peril. Squeezed out by human use of land, we are rapidly losing the wild spaces that our remaining nature calls home. So this week we're going to hear about two local examples and what you might be able to do to help. Later we'll hear about the likely impact on wildlife if the proposed expansion of a golf course near St Albans goes ahead. But first, when the M25 was built, it required a huge amount of gravel, and a lot of it was dug out of the ground in the Colne Valley near Rickmansworth. The pits that were left filled with water and became a string of beautiful lakes. One is the Denham Water Ski Lake, another is Broadwater Lake, a nationally important lake which supports huge numbers of water birds, and a third is Harefield No. 2 Lake, which was the home to Hillingdon Outdoor Activity Centre, or HOAC, a youth educational charity providing outdoor and environmental education for the whole community, but with priority given to young people and those who are disadvantaged or disabled. Now, I say was because in October 2020, HOAC had to close due to construction of HS2. The land required for construction of HS2 resulted in closure of Harefield No. 2 Lake for water sports, and it was accepted that HS2 would impair the land-based activities of HOAC during the construction period. So HOAC has been rendered homeless. Now, fortunately for them, HS2 is compelled to fund relocation to an alternative site which is suitable for their needs. All they need now is a new site, and their eyes have turned to Broadwater Lake. A planning application has been made by Hillingdon Council for a new water sports and activity centre at Broadwater Lake, featuring buildings and infrastructure on a previously undisturbed wooded peninsula designed to enable a whole suite of water and land-based activities. Things like canoeing, pedal, go-karting, high ropes and zip lines. Needless to say, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are concerned. I spoke to Chloe Edwards, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust Director of Nature Recovery, and I started by asking her what is so special about Broadwater Lake.
So it's incredibly large expanse of open water for starters. So it's about 80 hectares big. That's roughly the size of 80 football pitches. And it's quite unusual because it has lots of these lovely little islands scattered throughout that open water. And they've got some sort of tree cover on, which is providing some refuge area. And what's special about it, Broadwater Lake has remained largely undisturbed. Now, there is some existing sailing activity in the northern part of the lake, but the whole of the southern area has remained this undisturbed refuge for wildlife for many, many decades. It's designated as a nationally important site, so it's a SSSI. Sites of special scientific interest, and it's particularly important for the diversity of wetland birds that are there over winter and also the wetland and woodland birds that are there breeding over the summer months. As well as birds, it's got a lot of bat populations, including one of our rarer ones, the Nethusius pipistrel. And it's also, you know, home to loads of different invertebrates. It's a really diverse, rich site that has for about 40 years been largely left to nature.
So what concerns you about the proposal for a new water sports and activity centre there?
So as I mentioned, this site has largely been undisturbed for decades, and it's really rare in that it doesn't currently have loads of recreational activity on there. So there is some existing sailing in the north, but this whole southern area has been left as a refuge. And it's really important for the birds to have space and to not be disturbed throughout the year. So when they're breeding and, you know, they're feeling very vulnerable trying to raise young, in the summer months, particularly when they're having their annual molt, and in that period, they can't actually fly. So they're very, very vulnerable then. And also over winter, when it's very cold and it's much harder to source food, and birds really need to conserve their energy. And birds respond to disturbance in the same way that they would if there was a predator around. At the minute, they're fine there. They don't have to waste energy being constantly alert for predators. But if this development happened at Broadwater Lake, it would shift the activity down to the south into that crucial refuge. Sailing would happen from there, all of these other new water-based activities really, really close and merging into that really critical refuge area. And the big problem with disturbing birds in this place is that they don't really have anywhere else to go in that landscape. And so then, as well as those water-based activities, there's lots of activities that are proposed on this wooded peninsula, which again hasn't been disturbed for many, many decades, but will then be transformed with buildings and infrastructure that will enable all of these land-based activities, things that will be bringing noise and movement into this really quite tranquil area. And that is really going to disturb the wildlife. And it's going to transform this peaceful safe haven into a really unviable place for wildlife to exist.
Chloe, I'd just like to give you a few of the provisions from the environmental statement that accompanies the planning application. Now, it says that Broadwater Lake isn't currently managed for wildlife, but would be if the new centre goes ahead. It says that there'd be a package of ecological and enhancement measures, including habitat creation. There'd be new floating and fixed islands within the lake, new woodland, dense vegetation screens and boundary treatment, and that there'd be a long-term management of the wildlife and water environment, including a monitoring programme. Now, doesn't it sound from that like actually they're planning to enhance the lake for wildlife?
I agree. The way that this has been presented, if you didn't know the site and the wildlife that depends upon it in the way that we do, you'd go away thinking, well, this is a really good scheme. But unfortunately, we've really gone in deep into these plans. And unfortunately, we have come to the conclusion that these claims, they're just not credible, particularly around the bird interest on that site and the disturbance from not only the construction, which is going to be an absolutely huge undertaking, you know, with massive scale dredging, but also once that centre is operational, we don't believe that the disturbance can be properly mitigated for. It's not just the Colne Valley. There will be birds that are coming from much further away that will be impacted. And this is one of our most important sites for nature. It's a triple SI, legally protected. There's supposed to be a red line here that we don't cross.
Another thing that Hillingdon Council say is that the new facility would enable educating children from urban areas in flora and fauna. Now that is a good thing, isn't it?
It absolutely is, yeah. And I will say really strongly that we absolutely sympathise with the position that HOAC has been put in all of this. Our objection is really that this is not the right place for this kind of development because of its sensitivities from an ecological point of view. So there are alternatives, and that's what we would really love to see, is this site safeguarded for nature and then look to relocate HOAC to a more suitable site.
And where would you suggest that they went? Hillingdon Council says that they've got no option, that there's no other site that HOAC can relocate to.
So this is really interesting and something we've been questioning a lot, actually, because we have been engaging with the council over the last year. And what's very confusing is that actually there was an options assessment done of all the different sites that HOAC could be relocated to. And that report categorically ruled out Broadwater Lake because of its wildlife importance. And so what's confusing is that the assessment the council has done now has put Broadwater Lake on top of the list. coast. And absolutely nothing has changed in terms of the ecological value of that site. We would really like Hillingdon to relook at that assessment. And we're really willing to, you know, help with this.
Okay. So what would you like us to do if we agree with your concerns?
So what we are asking people to do is have a look for yourself. And so we've tried to put together a really broad overview of why we think this is not appropriate. And then we would also, if you do feel the same as us, which I hope that you will, because this is such an important case, it's not just a local issue. So this is potentially a precedent setting case here. National and local planning policies say you can't develop on triple SIs. So if this was to go forward, it would mean that all of our triple SIs across England are now potentially open to development. So we'd love you to look at our website, see what we're saying in more detail, and we've got links to where you can register your objection if you agree with us. And that is on the Hillingdon Council's planning portal. We've got lots of tips for the sorts of things we'd love you to flag, because we feel really strongly that this needs to be objected to.
Chloe Edwards, thank you very much indeed for explaining that to us. Now, you've got until Thursday the 21st of December to comment on the planning application, and I'll put a link to the webpage that Chloe mentioned into the notes that go with the podcast page of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Moving now to a site between St Albans and Hemel Hempstead, Centurion Golf Club. They have submitted plans to add another 10 holes to their existing 18. The land is Greenbelt land, but they say that this development would be appropriate for Greenbelt as no buildings are proposed. The land in question is currently wooded with thousands of trees in the Potter's Crouch plantation, and the proposals would involve removing about half of those trees. The planning application states that the proposals have sought to minimise impacts on biodiversity and, following the implementation of appropriate avoidance, mitigation and compensation measures, they will ensure that no significant harm to biodiversity arises. But do local conservationists agree? I spoke to local birder, nature lover and chair of the Hearts Bird Club, Rupert Evershed. And I started by asking him to tell us a little bit about Potter's Crouch Plantation and what it's like.
Potter's Crouch Plantation is a beautiful, large woodland area on the edge of St Albans, just on the edge of Chiswell Green. And it's been enjoyed by many walkers for a long time. I know people who have walked there since the 1970s. And it really is a very beautiful wood, mature trees and lots of wildlife.
And what kind of wildlife would you expect to see there? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I was there in the summer with my daughters and we couldn't believe just how many butterflies we were seeing. And there were so many, they were landing on us. And I noticed a particularly rare butterfly, the White Admiral, which is a rare butterfly in Hertfordshire. And that was there in good numbers. So that was quite exciting. And there were a good number of species. But it's also very good for birds. And there are some of our rarer birds there. And we think they may even be breeding there.
Okay, so this is quite an important site for local wildlife. Now, while Centurion Golf Club plans to remove about half the trees, they say that they will ensure that there's no significant harm to biodiversity. And we do hear our open woodland with gaps in is really good for wildlife. So what are your particular concerns here? What do you think the effect of these new 10 holes might be?
I think that taking out over half the wood would have a very, very significant effect on the biodiversity. It's very difficult to see it any other way. The butterflies that I talked about and the birds, the rarer species, would just simply go. Their planned extension to the golf course would remove completely the ride, the nice open space that the butterflies currently enjoy. And you wouldn't get that back. We're talking about removing trees that have been there a long time, ecosystems that have had a long time to establish. And as we know, golf courses are very manicured and managed spaces. They're not good for wildlife. And that's not to say that golf courses cannot be improved and made better places for wildlife, but that's if you're starting with a golf course, which is already on the back foot. But we're not. We're starting with a woodland which has great biodiversity and is really good for wildlife. So any move towards a golf course would be a backward step.
So you don't think it would be possible to have a wildlife-friendly golf course that would be as rich in wildlife as what there is at the moment?
Certainly not, no. And I think also that, unfortunately, I wasn't able to download, like others, the ecology report. But I think a lot of their calculations will have been desk-based. And I think this is very evident in the tree report, which is short and sharp and describes the area affected as highly manicured. And it says there was no site visit. And I think that's a very good indication of how inaccurate the supporting evidence can be. The tree officer has not visited the site. They're unaware that the removal of the trees is not actually on a current golf course. It is actually the removal of a lot of mature species. So I think that sort of indicates how we need to be very careful with this idea that biodiversity will not be affected if the person responsible for talking about trees hasn't actually been to the site and is able to be that dismissive.
Okay. Now, if people agree with your concerns, what would you like them to do?
Well, in the first instance, I would like them to object via the St Albans planning portal. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be clever or complicated. Simply please express how you feel about the loss of this woodland. It's not just the biodiversity. It's the loss of a fantastic place where that the public have accessed for a long time. And really, those paths should be instated as public rights of way, and the wood should be preserved and saved as a place to enjoy wildlife. We are all very aware on a national global scale that we can't really sustain this kind of loss to biodiversity. But actually, this might seem like a small incident, just 10 holes being added to a golf course. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This happens all up and down the country all the time. And so it is very important to object. And don't feel hopeless about it, because those voices will be heard. And it was heartening to see just how many people have already expressed their concern about these proposals. So that would be my number one thing. But also, please go and visit the site yourself, see it, enjoy it. And I think you'll agree.
Rupert, thank you so much for telling us about that. Now, you have until Saturday, December the 30th, to comment on Centurion's application, and I'll put a link to the application in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.